This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Nick Reiner was under a court-ordered mental health conservatorship. On paper, this sounds like the system working. The state intervened. A judge found him gravely disabled. A professional fiduciary was appointed to make decisions for him. He could be forced to take medication. He could be placed into a locked psychiatric facility against his will. Rob and Michelle Reiner had done what thousands of California families cannot do. They got their son into the most restrictive mental health intervention in the state. So why did it fail? Why are we here today? There's been a lot of talk of, if only he had that conservatorship. We've even talked about it. Well, it turns out he did. He did for a year. And then it went away. It was not in effect. It was not in place when the crimes occurred. In fact, it didn't have been in place for years. But if you think the conservatorship was the end-all, be-all, the fix to these problems, you're wrong. I thought it would be more powerful than it was, too, until we started learning more about conservatorships. And then we learned it is just as riddled with holes and flaws and loopholes as everything else in the California legal and mental health system. Meaning, it pretty much puts most of the rights in the hands of the mentally ill at the end of the day. And once those who love the person that's mentally ill, that are trying to do what's right for them, trying to care for them, trying to do everything, it just sets them up to go to battle with the mentally ill person pretty much for the entire duration of said conservatorship. And at some point, the non-mentally ill have their own autonomy as well. And they got to say, you know what? I'm trying everything here. I'm being battled by this person who clearly doesn't want this, who clearly needs it. But they're becoming a danger to myself and others. And they're actively manipulating me or the system or whoever is watching this to get out of it, which will be a harm to themselves or others. They may not know it, I know it, but I can't keep subjecting myself to this. That's a conservatorship in California. If the charges against Nick Reiner are true, it protected no one. Not Nick from his own deterioration, not his parents from the danger allegedly living in their home, not the public from a tragedy that the system should have seen coming. Because the LPS conservatorship isn't a safety mechanism, it's a temporary pause button on a system designed to fail. And today I want to walk you through exactly how it fails, not in theory, but in practice, at every single stage. Because when you understand how this system actually works, you'll understand why tragedies like this one keep happening, even when families do everything right. Before we do that, though, be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening to us right now. Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi is the channel. If you want to find us on a podcast platform, maybe you're watching on video and you want to take us on the go, just search for that, press subscribe, or wherever you are at right now, please do hit that subscribe button and let's have a conversation. This is not just one-sided and me talking to you through a camera. I want to hear your thoughts. So in the comment section on YouTube, weigh in. Let me know your thoughts as we work through this story. I do read them and I do incorporate it into this as we go back and forth on these cases. Also, Substack. Join us there and have a conversation as well. Hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link is in the description. It's free to join right now. You'll get all of our reporting a day before we release it out on Apple Podcasts or YouTube. You get it in advance, and there's no ads. And you can interact with us there directly in the studio. Be part of our community. It's a kind of our exclusive club here. We gotta come up with a name or something, I guess. Join us over on Substack and be part of our group there. We'd appreciate that and love to get your thoughts. All right, let's start with the first failure point, the threshold that punishes families. To qualify for an LPS conservatorship in California, a person must be found gravely disabled. That's the legal standard. What does it mean? It means they cannot provide for their own basic needs, food, clothing, or shelter because of a mental disorder. I mean, it sounds reasonable, right? I mean, okay. How much do they scrutinize the definitions of those things? Here's the catch. California court guidance states explicitly, if you or another adult can provide for the person's basic needs. So the person doesn't have to be capable of providing for their own basic needs. It just, if there's someone else providing for that person's basic needs because they're gravely disabled, then they're not gravely disabled anymore. So the court cannot find the person to be gravely disabled if someone basically gives a shit about you, even though you're gravely disabled, even though without that person being a hostage to you, the mentally ill, potentially dangerous person, without you basically taking a hostage, the court can't do anything. So you can't be a hostage keeper if you are the mentally ill person. If you have a hostage in the form of a caregiver, the state's going to let that hostage deal with you. And until that hostage is gone because you killed them or they leave or they kill themselves because they're so depressed and just out of their minds with dealing with you. I mean, the amount of deaths of caregivers versus the people that are being cared for, it's actually higher on the caregiver part. Did you know that one? Yeah. So if anybody's taking care of you, California says no go. You literally have to be rotting in the streets, pretty much. And want help, too. And someone has to notice you enough. I mean, it basically sets it up so people don't get it. That's why there's only like 1,500 people on an LPS conservatorship at any given time in California with a population of how many millions of people? So if you're feeding your mentally ill child, housing your mentally ill child, keeping your mentally ill child alive, you may be legally disqualifying them from the intervention. That could save everyone's life. There goes my pen. I need another pen because I've always got my pen. California appellate courts have reinforced this principle. If a person can reliably access necessities through family or friends, they may not meet the threshold for grave disability. The system was designed this way intentionally. The idea was that family support is a protective factor, a reason not to intervene, as if the family is qualified to do anything with a mentally ill person. In practice, it means the more you help, the less the state will help. Your love becomes a legal obstacle. Your devotion becomes the reason your son doesn't qualify for forced treatment. Hugh Brooks and Dunn, Only in America, Please. Only in America. Rob and Michelle Reiner were housing Nick in their Brentwood mansion. They were feeding him, clothing him, caring for him. And that very act of care may have made it legally difficult or impossible to renew the conservatorship that gave anyone the power to control his treatment. The system doesn't reward families who show up. It punishes them. Failure point number two. You ready? Survey says, future danger doesn't count. California appellate courts established in the 1986 case conservatorship of Benvenuto that the likelihood of future harm may also not be enough to meet commitment criteria. The court wrote, and I want you to hear this language. If LPS conservatorship may be reestablished because of a perceived likelihood of future relapse, many conservatees who would not relapse will be deprived of liberty based on problemistic pessimism. Probabilistic. That's a fun one. I'm going to read that sentence again because it sounds like a lot of words that you go, oh, that sounds smart. And you're like, what the fuck does that mean? Let's do it again. If LPS conservatorship may be reestablished because of a perceived likelihood of future relapse, many conservatees would not relapse will be deprived of liberty based on probabilistic pessimism. Probabilistic pessimism. That's what they called it. The idea that someone might get worse, that their history suggests they will get worse, that everyone who knows them believes they will get worse. That's not enough. You cannot conserve someone because they might deteriorate. They have to be deteriorating right now, today, at this second, while we're looking at them. So even if Nick's doctors, his family, or his conservator worried about what would happen if he stopped taking his medication or changed his medication or faced a stressful situation, that concern wasn't legally actionable. The system only responds to current crisis. It cannot prevent future crisis. It waits until the house is on fire, then shows up with a bucket, usually filled with gas, not water. Failure point number three, survey says the one-year expiration date. LPS conservatorships automatically terminate after 12 months. That's it. 1 year. The conservator must then petition for renewal, presenting fresh evidence that the person still meets the grave disability standard. And here's the brutal irony. If the conservatorship worked, if the forced medication stabilized the person, if the professional oversight kept them safe, if the intervention did exactly what it was supposed to do, they're no longer qualifying for said conservatorship. Oh, it's working? Take it away! This is the logic. The system is designed to restore liberty at the earliest possible moment to people who don't deserve it, who aren't capable of living with it, aren't capable of exercising it in any sort of safe way. It sounds noble to someone who has no clue what the hell they're doing or talking about. We're giving them their liberties back. They have rights. I mean, it sounds noble until you take actually a look at what happens next. A California study cited in recent news coverage of this case examined outcomes for patients placed under conservatorships. 83% remained stable while the conservatorship was in effect. That's great. 83% means that's working. The intervention worked. But of those whose conservatorships were terminated, only 43% remained stable afterwards. That's a 57% relapse rate. More than half of the people released from conservatorship deteriorate. And the mechanisms to keep the conservatorship in place, to keep that person and their loved ones safe, they disappear the second that person is able to feed themselves. Nick Reiner's conservatorship, or you feed them. Nick Reiner's conservatorship appears to have worked for 1 year. He had forced treatment, professional oversight, medication compliance. He reportedly stabilized, and then the clock ran out. The system declared victory. Mission accomplished. And walked away. Failure point number four, the cliff after the conservatorship. According to the 2020 California State Audit, participation in services after conservatorship discharge is voluntary. Let me say that again. The person who was deemed too mentally ill to make their own decisions is now free to refuse all the treatment, all the follow-up, all the monitoring they want. In two of the three counties the state audited, no more than 9% of people leaving LPS holds were connected to ongoing care. 9%. San Francisco's Department of Public Health doesn't even track what happens to people who decline services after discharge. One day, the state has the power to force medication, lock someone in a facility, make every medical decision on their behalf. The next day, complete autonomy. Refuse everything. Disappear. Go for it. There is no step down, no transition period, no monitoring system, no watching to see if the stability holds. They're just cured, right? This magically. Again, the conservatorship system doesn't understand mental health. It should be a recipe for tacos at Taco John's. Want a recipe for tacos? Here's how you handle mental health. What? This is not at all what we're talking about. We need a taco recipe. Well, here's a recipe from, like, this is, it's like, what? You don't seem to understand what we're even talking about here and how this functions, how people function. And yet you're creating, you are the set of rules that doesn't seem to remotely take into account or understand mental health. Again, it's playing Monopoly with the Candyland rules. Like, this doesn't seem to apply to this game. You're right, it doesn't, and it makes no sense, and it won't work. But these are the rules, and we're going to follow them. But this says Candyland. I know, candy's good, right? It's the wrong, it's not even, not. California thanks you for your ignorance. Nick's conservatorship ended in 2021. For 4 years after that, there was no system tracking his mental health. When he moved back in with his parents in late 2024, when he reportedly asked his doctors to change his medication approximately 1 month before the deaths, no one with legal authority was watching. No one could intervene. The state had declared him gravely disabled, invested a year of resources in his treatment, and then walked away with no follow-up plan. Failure point number five, families can't do jack shit. Here's something most people don't know. Families cannot petition for an LPS conservatorship. You cannot go to the court and say, my son is severely mentally ill and I need the state to help me force treatment. Only treating physicians at designated psychiatric facilities can initiate this process. That usually means your loved one has to be hospitalized first, often through a 5150 72-hour hold, then a 5250 14-day extended hold. And if your family member isn't currently in crisis severe enough for hospitalization, you have no legal pathway. You can watch them deteriorate. You can beg them to get help. You can call the police when things get bad enough. But you cannot compel the system to act. And even if you get a conservatorship in place, you cannot force it to continue, to renew. The conservator has to petition and present evidence. If the conservator doesn't think renewal is necessary, or if the person is stabilized enough that they no longer meet the threshold, and we know what that is, they're able to eat on their own or you're feeding them. Well, that does that. You're disqualified pretty much. You put them in a place of shelter or they put themselves in a place of shelter. Well, that's disqualifying too. Mere existence, for the most part, unless they're sitting out behind or underneath the dumpster of the Home Depot or they're sitting out back behind Long John Silver's eating scraps from the fry basket. Although they're able to feed themselves there, so that may disqualify them too. Families can beg, families can plead, families cannot compel. We don't know exactly why Nick's conservatorship wasn't renewed in 2021. Maybe Stephen Baer, the licensed fiduciary who served as his conservator, didn't think it was necessary. We just don't know. Maybe Nick had stabilized enough that he no longer qualified. That's probably more likely. Maybe there were factors we'll never know about. But what we do know is that the Reiner family, whatever they wanted, whatever they feared, couldn't force renewal, even if they'd tried. Failure point number six, the system doesn't even track itself. The 2020 state audit found that the total number of LPS conservatorships in California isn't fully known. The state has been expanding conservatorship laws, SB 43 and the CARE Act, without comprehensive data on whether the existing system actually works. San Diego County was unable to provide any historical data on housing status, race, or ethnicity of conservatees. Counties don't share information with each other about individuals in the system either, so it's a big, who the hell knows? Michael Cabrera, executive director of the County Behavioral Health Directors Association, put it this way. It's really difficult to expect a plan of any kind to manage care and coordinate services for a person they don't even know exists. California is operating a mental health intervention system blind. No statewide tracking of outcomes, no understanding of who falls through the cracks, no mechanism to learn from failures. Families like the Reiners navigate a system that doesn't know its own results. Failure point number 7. Even if you get a conservatorship, there's nowhere to put people. As of the 2020 audit, people on the wait list for state hospital beds have been waiting an average of 1 year. 1 year! Los Angeles County was holding people on LPS conservatorships in jail without criminal charges because there weren't enough psychiatric placements. And you know what? That's probably the best place if you can't get them in a facility. It's not right. But if they're a danger to themselves and others, okay. Private treatment facilities can refuse patients who are violent, who have severe symptoms, who have medical complications. In some counties, if beds aren't available, crisis intervention teams won't even respond to calls because they have nowhere to take the person. The system promises intervention it cannot deliver. Even if you meet the impossible threshold, even if you get the conservatorship, even if you need the most intensive care, you might wait a year for a bed while receiving treatment that, according to the state's own audit, did not fully meet their needs and did not fully protect them or others around them. It's a effing joke. Let me map all of this onto what we know about Nick Reiner, shall we? And if you have not already, in the comments section on YouTube or on our Substack, please weigh in with your thoughts. The Substack link is in the description. In 2019, police are called to the Reiner home twice. According to records obtained by Rolling Stone, a welfare check in February, a mental call involving a male in September. Something is wrong, but there's no conservatorship, no intervention, just 2 police reports. 2020, Nick is reportedly hospitalized. Whatever happened was severe enough for involuntary holds. Then a full conservatorship. Stephen Bear is appointed. The system finally steps in, but only after things got bad enough that a judge found Nick gravely disabled beyond a reasonable doubt. The conservatorship is in place from 2020 to 2021. Bear oversees treatment, medication is managed, Nick reportedly stabilizes, the system works as designed. It's in the middle of COVID, too. The conservatorship then expires in 2021. It's either not renewed or Nick no longer qualifies for renewal. We've already talked about that. His civil rights are restored. Thank God. Oh, my goodness, because we all know the most important thing in a mental health crisis, the mentally ill person, an addict, is their civil fucking rights. That's on the top of my list when I'm dealing with a mentally ill person. Are your civil rights being protected right now while you're threatening to kill everyone and yourself? So he regains full autonomy over his medical decisions. All future treatment, voluntary. From 21 to 2024, 4 years pass. There's no oversight, no tracking, no legal mechanism for intervention unless Nick has another crisis severe enough for hospitalization. The state has no idea what he's doing or how he's doing. Neither does anyone else with legal authority. And then late 2024, Nick moves back in with his parents. He's on medication that reportedly is working. Side effects bother him. Sources say weight gain. Ooh. He reportedly asks his doctors for a different medication. He's a free adult. He can do that. No one can stop him. Approximately 1 month before December 14th, the new medication he's on, sources told TMZ, it made him agitated, erratic. One source described it as a complete break from reality, but without a conservatorship in place, without any legal oversight. There's nothing anyone can do except watch. Then on December 13th, out of desperation and not great thinking, Rob and Michelle Reiner bring Nick to a holiday party at Conan O'Brien's house. Sources say he's exhibiting antisocial behavior, staring at people, acting strangely. His parents see it. They take him home. And they go to sleep. Then on December 14th, Rob and Michelle Reiner are found dead from multiple sharp force injuries. Nick is arrested hours later and charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder. If prosecutors are right about what happened that night and Nick Reiner is presumed innocent until proven guilty, then the conservatorship failed at every level. It didn't protect Nick from his own alleged deterioration. If the charges are accurate, it didn't protect Rob and Michelle from the very person living under their roof that they tried so desperately and loved more than anything to help. It didn't protect anyone from a tragedy that was extremely preventable. And that's not because someone made a mistake. It's not because the Reiners didn't try hard enough. It's not because Stephen Bear didn't do his job. It's because the system is designed to fail. It's designed to provide temporary intervention, then restore autonomy. It's designed to prioritize liberty over prediction, civil rights over prevention. It's designed to act only when disaster is already happening, and then by then it is often too late. It's designed by morons. UC Berkeley professor Jonathan Simon, who studies criminal justice law, described the LP Act this way. Today, we attribute many of our most persistent evils in this state to having gotten this law either wrong or not right enough. And that includes unhousedness, otherwise known as homelessness, rampant public drug use and drug sales, and mass incarceration. The system was written in 1967 to prevent people from being locked away indefinitely in psychiatric institutions. That was a real problem. People were warehoused for decades, stripped of their rights, forgotten by society. The LPS Act was supposed to fix that by swinging the pendulum towards liberty, autonomy, and civil rights. Unfortunately, the pendulum swung way the hell over here that the system now can't prevent tragedy. It can only respond to tragedy. It cannot act based on history. It cannot act based on pattern. It cannot act based on what everyone who knows the person believes is coming. It can only act when a person is currently demonstrably unable to provide food, clothing, or shelter for themselves, unless their family is providing those things, in which case, sorry, they don't qualify. So if you're thinking of the clock and the pendulum back and forth, and someone goes, oh, it's a little slow, it's a little off, let's fix the clock here. Let's make sure that it's ticking correctly, because it's a little fast or slow or whatever. And rather than fixing the clock and going, okay, well, let's whatever, adjust the wheels and the gears and the motors in the back by someone who's qualified to do so. Looks like we put people who don't know how to fix clocks in charge of fixing the clock. And rather than fixing the clock, they just took the pendulum and duct taped it over there. Now the clock's not working at all. Hey, it's not reading the time at all. Yes, but it's not doing what you said it was doing before. That is true. It's not doing what it was doing before, but it's not doing anything right now, really. But it's not doing that. Yes, but it's not helping anybody. Like, now we don't even know the time, period. Well, this is what we're doing. It's essentially how it's handled. The Reiners had resources most families don't have. They had money far greater than most of us. They had access to top psychiatrists. They had the connections to navigate a system that defeats the navigation to a system that defeats most people. They got the conservatorship. They got the professional fiduciary. They got the diagnosis and the medication and a year of forced treatment. But wait, there's more. You're also going home with a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. You remember that? Game shows in like the 80s. Contestants on Ding Dang Dong go home with a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni, the San Francisco treat. For whatever reason, there was a lot of people parting game shows with a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni in the 70s and 80s. Don't ask me why. I do not know. But it is the San Francisco treat. And if you're eating the San Francisco treat yourself and you're mentally ill and on the streets, well, guess what? You're not gravely disabled. You got that Rice-a-roni. And the system still released their son with no follow-up, no monitoring, no legal mechanism for intervention when things reportedly started to go wrong again, because that's what the system does. It intervenes briefly, declares victory, and walks away. You know, like a lot of government entities do. Mission accomplished. 83% stable during conservatorship, 57% relapse after termination. Those numbers should be carved into the wall of every legislator's office in Sacramento. More than half of the people California releases from mental health conservatorships deteriorate afterwards, and the state's response is to shrug and say participation in follow-up services is voluntary. Nick Reiner is currently in jail, in a jail cell, in the high observation mental health unit at Twin Towers Correctional Facility. According to People magazine, sources say he doesn't understand why he's there. Sources say he believes there's a conspiracy against him. He's alone in his cell at all times. His arraignment is scheduled for February 23rd. He's presumed innocent. Rob and Michelle are dead. Jake and Romy Reiner found their parents' bodies. The family has told prosecutors they don't want the death penalty, allegedly. And somewhere in California's bureaucracy, there are files that say Nick Reiner's conservatorship ended in 2021 because he no longer met the criteria for grave disability, allegedly. There are records showing the system worked exactly as designed. There are checkboxes that got checked and procedures that got followed and forms that got filed. And if the charges against Nick Reiner are accurate, the conservatorship didn't protect him from his own illness. It didn't protect his parents. It didn't protect anyone. It just provided 1 year of stability and restored autonomy to someone whose brain, according to these charges, may have been telling him things that weren't true. That's not a failure of the Reiner family. That's not a failure of Stephen Bear. That's a failure of a system that was built to prioritize the rights of individuals over the safety of everyone around them, including the individual themselves. Maybe that's the right framework for a society. Maybe we shouldn't lock people away based on what we think they might do. Maybe civil liberties should always win over probabilistic pessimism. But if the legal process confirms what prosecutors allege, and this case becomes another data point in a pattern California has been ignoring for decades, the system works exactly as designed, and that design has a body count. The conservatorship did what it was supposed to do. It lasted 1 year, stabilized, in air quotes, a patient. It expired, and it left no safety net behind. If that's success, we need a different definition of the word. Weigh in with your thoughts. Let's continue the conversation off the air in the comment section on YouTube or on our Substack. The link to our Substack is in the description. You can type in Hidden Killers, the Tony Brewski on Substack, and you'll find us. You can also just type it in, hiddenkillers.substack.com. We'd love to get your thoughts on this as we continue to work through the many chapters of this story. If you've got a personal story on this, if you have your own experiences, we're finding a lot of people are sharing theirs. Please, if you want to share, share. And know that it does help others. I'll see you in the comments on YouTube and Substack. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please press subscribe so you don't miss any of our reporting. And if you got a moment, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps us tremendously. It helps other folks find us so they can also partake in our reporting. So thank you in advance for that. If you've not already left us a review on Apple Podcasts, thank you. Until next time, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers Podcast.